done so much for us, what have I done for Him? That one verse that says about the hours that we spend for the world and the many of those and the few that we spend and work for Christ. If we as believers, if we as Christians would really, and I say we, I don't say you, I say we, if we would do as much for the Lord as we do for ourselves, that'd be worth a lot. If we just spend as half as much time serving the Lord as we do serving this old self, we get so bottled up and bound down by the things that come upon us, and many times they're not bad things, they're just things. If we're not careful, we'll let those things stand between us and our Savior. We'll let those good things, we'll let those things that are not harmful, not sinful, not wicked, but we just let those permeate our thoughts, and that's all we think about, that's all we do. Oh, if we just spend the time, even half as much time, working and serving God as we do that, I believe we'd see a vast difference in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 tonight. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." What a blessed verse that is. That the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You'll notice verse number 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God." Over in verse number 2, the Bible says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." You'll notice there, if you study the book of Romans, you'll find, and even I believe the Scofield Notes tells us here that before this verse in the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is only used one time. And that's in chapter 5 and verse number 5. But the remaining part of just in this one chapter alone, the Holy Spirit is mentioned some 19 times. And we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand a little bit about the working. Now let me rephrase that. We need to understand all we can know about the workings of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God." For the law, the Spirit of life, is in Christ Jesus, and that has made me free from the law of sin, the law of death. Over in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 5, the Scripture says, this is the only other place before here that Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, and those are synonymous terms. It says in verse 5 of Romans 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Thank God tonight the Holy Spirit has been given freely to you and I, and we have that gift of God, that gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture says there that we are not ashamed, and it ought not to make ashamed, because the love of God has been put in our hearts and had been shed abroad in our hearts that we might know that we are the children of the Lord. And then if you go down to verse number 21 and of that same chapter, it says, "And that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace," thank God grace reigns, the Scripture says here, "through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now the law of sin and the law of death, those things reign in our lives, and because of our sin nature, we are all dying. Because of the nature that you and I have, we're going to die one day, and we're going to go out of this world, and we're going to face God either as a believer or as an unbeliever. That's the law of sin and death that works in our body daily and continually, that we're going to one day stand, and we'll live our life, and we'll die if Jesus does not come. We'll stand before the Lord. But the Bible says there, thank God, where sin hath reigned unto death, thank God, grace has reigned unto righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have tonight the blessings of God. We have the things of God because of the grace of the Lord that has come and has been shed abroad in my heart and in your heart. And we have the blessings of the Lord tonight because grace has come and made us realize that we were once on our road to hell, deservingly to go there. But grace came by and made us a believer, made us understand, made us know that we're not worthy, we're unworthy. But because of that unmerited love, that unmerited favor, that grace that God has come to us, and now we can go to heaven because of the righteousness of the Son of God. That law of sin and death no longer rules in us, that we're going to live eternally with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we find here that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Present tense, right now, immediately, those that are led by the Holy Spirit. I want us to notice tonight, we've been looking in these verses in Romans chapter number 8 for some time now, these two or three weeks already. We've been looking concerning the subject of no spirit of fear. And as a believer tonight, I do not believe that we ought to have that fear ruling and reigning in us, that we cannot operate and we cannot serve God. So many people tonight are fearful of everything that goes on about them. But the spirit of fear ought not to be reigning and ruling in our heart because of that marvelous grace. We've noticed that the reason we have no fear is, first of all, that we have been pardoned from an eternal penalty. And that penalty was death and hell and the grave. That penalty was an eternal separation from God the Father, in that we would be separated, that great gulf fixed, that those that are on one side cannot go to the other, or from that side cannot go there. And thank God, one day we came to know Jesus as our Savior, and that eternal penalty of hell was removed from us because of the grace of God. And then last week we noticed that we have no spirit of fear because we have been saved, and therefore we possess an eternal presence within us. And that's what we're talking about tonight, that eternal presence, that Holy Spirit that rules and reigns in our body. We are partners tonight with an eternal person. We have a fellowship together. We have a partnership that cannot be broken. It cannot be severed. It cannot be done away with. We that are born again from above, we have a partnership with God through the Holy Spirit that can never be broken and severed. Our relationship, our relationship that we have with God is an eternal. Our fellowship may falter and fail, but thank God that partnership that we have with God is always there. And if we are the children of God, somewhere down the line we will be led by the Spirit of the Lord. We have a partnership with an eternal person, and we find that in these four verses that we read tonight, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. I want us to notice tonight that there's five evidences of this partnership that we have with God. This partnership that we have with this eternal person that lives within us and reigns and rules in our life. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, we that are born from above, our bodies have become the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to be careful what we do. That's why we have to be careful where we go. That's why we have to be careful of the things we say, the things we see. All those things, because why? The Holy Spirit lives within us. Every time we think we do things in secret, if you're a child of God, you're not doing it in secret. You're doing it with the Spirit of God right there with you. We can go into the dark alleys of the world. We can go into the dark avenues of the sin holes of the world, and we can do what we desire to do, and that fleshly nature many times takes over in our life. But if you're a child of God, you're not doing it without God knowing it. You're not doing it without the Holy Spirit of God being right there along beside of you, accompanying you, and all along and all the time, I believe, trying to convince and convey to you that you ought not to get involved in that. You see, we seek the same leadership. That's one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit living within our heart as a child of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We seek that same leadership. As a child of God, we don't float along in this world in the current of chance. There's no such thing as chance with the children of God. There's no such thing as luck, even though we use it. We'll say, well, that fellow was lucky. I've tried to break my habit of saying lucky. I've tried to break that. I say, boy, is that fellow fortunate? That's a better term. That's a better word. There's no such thing as luck with a child of God. There's no such thing as chance. God has not left us in this world to drift along, not knowing which direction to go. He's not left us to wander. He's not left us to wander. He's not left us just to go one direction for a while or another direction for a while. No, He has given us the blessed Holy Spirit of God, and as many as are born of the Spirit of God, I believe, are led by the Holy Spirit of God, and those things convey to us and convey to those around us that we are the sons of God, that we are the children of God. Leadership of the Holy Spirit is reserved only for the sons of God. Now, you can just write it down if a person's lost and they say, God led me, or the Spirit led me. I don't believe that. The Holy Spirit of God leads only His children. He lives in our heart, and the only thing that the Spirit of God will lead a lost person to do is to fall on his face before a holy and a righteous God and confess Him as Savior. He'll not lead them to do something else. I've heard lost people say, I've prayed and God answered my prayer. I don't believe that. God doesn't answer the prayer of those that are non-believers. Only the prayer of faith coming to them, Him, trusting Him as His Savior, is the prayer that God answers. That God hears. Some believe that the leadership of the Holy Spirit is reserved for high occasions or special occasions, or that Holy Spirit leadership is only for those that have reached a higher level or a higher degree of spirituality. I'm here to tell you tonight that that Paul didn't say here in Romans that we that have reached a certain level are led by the Holy Spirit. Paul didn't say that we have to be a certain type of Christian. Paul didn't say here to the people of Rome that they had to attain certain things in life. But he did say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so tonight, we that are saved, we that are born again, we have the same Holy Spirit as those others around the world that are saved also. Now, He may work in us differently and be active. We may have the permission given differently to the Lord, but the Spirit of God deals with everyone. It's not reserved for special people. It's not reserved for preachers. It's not reserved for the people that have charisma in their actions. I'm not talking about the charismatic. I'm talking about the word charisma. It means that attractiveness of appeal to their self. God doesn't limit Himself to folks like that. God does not limit Himself to men or to women that are eloquent in speaking. God doesn't limit Himself to folks that have multitudes of fortune and fame. God doesn't limit Himself to people that we might think that He could use more than maybe He could use me. But thank God, He gives us the Spirit of the Lord, that if we will let Him, He will lead us and He will guide us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake and for the blessings and the work of God. He can use an old fellow down here that can't even read his name. If He'll so let God do that. There's been days gone by that our forefathers, they couldn't read their names if it's written 6 foot high on boxcars. But they had power with God. And they had the power of God upon their life. They maybe didn't have all the eloquent speaking. They maybe didn't have all the King's English just like it should be. But they had power with God. And that's what I desire tonight. And I believe that's what we ought to desire, is that power of God and having the Spirit of God lead us and direct us in the ways of the Lord. Every child of God can experience the thrill of God's leadership every day. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. The Lord shall guide thee continually. I'm glad tonight that I can get up in the morning and say, dear Lord, will You help me? Will You guide me? And I have the promise from the Word of God that He will do that if I permit Him to do it. He'll lead me. How does the Spirit lead us? Well, He leads us, and we see the evidences of that in the answer to prayer. When we pray and God answers our prayer, we can see the effects of God dealing and working in our life and working in the souls of men. I think a good example is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 24. Speaking of the early church there in Acts, it says, they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two Thou hast chosen. And there we find Judas has gone off the scene, And they have to make a choice here as to who would take the place of Judas. Now, I know there's some people that don't believe that Matthias ought to have been the choice, but you'll have to deal with the Lord about that. I happen to think he was the choice. I happen to think he was the one, because the Scripture says, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these thou hast chosen." And we know that the lot fell upon Matthias. Some say, "Well, what about the Apostle Paul?" I don't understand all about that. I don't understand, but Paul says he was an apostle born out of due season, out of due time. But I believe the church of the Lord here had the authority to choose and to have that leadership in asking God for guidance and for direction. And I believe you and I have the same authority tonight to say, "God, you do the choosing in our life. You do the action. You do the work in my life. And God, you answer my prayer." I think another way that we know that the Spirit of God will lead us, we'll find that we'll have agreement with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God, and you hear me well, the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you to do an opposition to what the Word of God says is right. He'll never, never will the Holy Spirit lead you to go in opposition to the Word of God. If he did, he wouldn't be God. And the Holy Spirit is God. We call it first, second, third person. And in our human mind, we sort of think the Holy Spirit's a little bit lower God than God. But no, he's God. And the Holy Spirit guides and directs. And as we call and ask God for certain things, and being led by the Holy Spirit as the children or the sons of God, he will guide us, and it will never be in opposition to the known, written will and word of God that we have before us. I've heard people say, "Well, the Spirit of God led me to do that." And that was foreign to the word of the Lord. And you can just put her down. God didn't lead him to do anything. The Scripture says, "Try the Spirit, see whether they be of God." So when we are led by the Holy Spirit, we'll have some answers to prayer, and we'll have agreement with the Word of God. Always will we agree, and God will give us. We'll have an achievement of unity doing what the Lord wants us to do. We'll have an association with progress. We'll grow, and we'll do some things that we didn't think we could do. We'll have some appointments to service. We'll have leadership to serve, and we'll have leadership to stop. I think there in the book of Acts chapter 13, you can turn there if you would for a moment, and you can read this where it says that the church there was praying, and the Holy Spirit of God called out Barnabas, and they called them, the Spirit of the Lord called them to go and to preach the gospel into the far reaches and corners of the world. And you find there in that book that there was leadership of the Holy Spirit for those two men to serve God. If you turn over just a few pages, you'll find in Acts chapter number 16, verse 6 and 7, you'll find the leadership of the Apostle Paul, that the Holy Spirit forbade them to go to certain places. See, the Holy Spirit will lead you, and the Holy Spirit will stop you. The Holy Spirit will tell you to go one place, and he'll tell you not to go somewhere else. And Paul says, "We endeavored to go this way," and he says, "We were hindered. We were stopped. The Spirit of the Lord forbade them to go to Asia." And so you have, when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you'll have leadership to serve, and you'll have leadership to stop. God will say go, and God will say stop, if you'll just listen to him. You'll find there'll be growth as you serve the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse number 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth," oh, thank God, there's one of the titles of the Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit of God does not call attention to himself. He always calls attention to the Son of God. He always calls attention up to the Lord. These groups that are running around, and they're growing and flourishing tonight, and they're always talking about the Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with talking, nothing wrong with preaching, but when you magnify the Holy Spirit more than anything else, you've already stepped your bounds. Because the Holy Spirit, just like John the Baptist, he says, he, the Son of God, must increase, I must decrease. And so you'll find here that when you're being led by the Holy Spirit of God, when you're seeking that same leadership as God wants you to have, you'll find that you'll have the truth of God's Word because you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You'll have accord. You'll have blessings with believers, and you'll want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God leads in one direction, And that's toward holiness. The Bible says that that no man shall see God without holiness. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Does that mean I've got to live perfect? Does that mean I have to live in perfection without sin? Does that mean? No, that doesn't mean that, but it does mean that the Spirit of God's going to lead you in one direction, and that direction is to try to attain the best of your ability to be like Jesus Christ, to be like the Lord, to serve Him and to honor Him, to do those things that would be pleasing unto Him. The Scripture says here, for as many as are led. As many as are led. That's a strong word. It means to take with one. It doesn't say drive. It says as many as are led. The Scriptures teach us that we as the children of God, we're like dumb sheep. I was listening to a tape this afternoon, and once again it's affirmed in our hearing that you cannot drive sheep, but you can lead them. You can't force them. I'll tell you, I'm just probably as stubborn as anybody in here. If I think somebody wants to try to force me to do something, I'm going to buck up and I'm not going to do it. But if somebody can come to me and try to lead me into something, I'll probably follow them. And that's the way we are as children of God. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's a dangerous thing for us to buck up against God. It's a dangerous thing for us to say, no, God, I'll not hear you. It's a dangerous thing to say, God, I'm going to do what I want to do. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what your book says. It doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit of God impresses my heart to do. I'm going to live. I'm going to do. I'm going to say. I'm going to be what I want to be. It doesn't matter. You're on dangerous ground as a believer. And there's a lot of Christians tonight, and that's exactly where they're living. It's dangerous not to be led, because the Scripture says, as for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Every ill that the human race has tonight, every one of them is a result of man's failure to follow God's leadership. Every problem that we are experiencing tonight, as far as our country is concerned, is because we will not follow the leadership of God. Every problem that you and I have is because many times we will not follow what God would have us to do. So as a child of God, as a believer, as a partner with this eternal person, we will desire, we will seek that same leadership. I don't know about anybody else, but I want the Lord to lead me. I don't know about anybody else, but I want to be in the center of God's will. I don't want to be on the outer fringe. I don't want to be over here just far enough that I can say I'm living for the Lord and I can take one step and be over here in the world. I don't want to live there. I don't live over here just far enough away from God that I don't enjoy the things of the Lord. But I'll tell you one thing, when a church has services like we've had today, if you're not living in the center of God's will, you're not going to enjoy what's going on. You just will not enjoy that because it's foreign unto you. And you'll say, boy, there's something wrong with that crowd. Yeah. Somebody will come along and say, well, I think they've done lost their minds. Probably have. What little we had to begin with. I'll tell you, when you get where God is, it makes a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in the way you live. It'll make a difference in the way you serve God. Lord, help us to understand that He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. We seek that same leadership as one that is born of God. I want to live where God can speak to me. I don't want to live over here so far away from God that if something happens to Amy over here or my wife or some of my family that I don't have to crawl back to God and say, God, now will you hear my cry? I want to be where God can hear me when I cry. I don't have to confess 10,000 days of things that I've done out of the leadership and out of the blessings of God. I don't want to live over there because somewhere God's going to get a hold of you. Somewhere God will shake your tree and He'll let you know He's in control of your life. God, help us to seek that same leadership that the Holy Spirit of God wants us to have. Not only do we seek the same leadership, thank God we stand in the same liberty. Look at verse 15. We may never get done. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again. Thank God. We're no longer under bondage to fear. No spirit of fear to the child of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or nothing more than what we would say, Daddy. That close relationship with the Heavenly Father. We have been born into the family of God, and we have been adopted into the family of God. That's not a contradiction. Birth speaks of our membership into God's family. Adoption speaks of our relationship in God's family. It's a place where we are made sons of the Holy. Adoption puts us in that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Adoption is the place where we have that relationship with God, that we have been placed as a son of God in that family of the Lord. It carries the idea of acceptance for the children as a mature adult. Just a mature adult. We are nothing more than little boys and girls in the family of God. But we've been adopted into that place, and we've been placed there. And as far as God's concerned, we're already glorified over on the other side. Read on down in Romans chapter 8. We'll see that. Scripture says there. We find it. It says in verse number 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also, past tense, glorified. I've been placed into his family as a mature adult with the Lord. I have that liberty. I no longer have to be a slave. It says here that we have not received the spirit of bondage again. I think of that man, that maniac of Gadara, that sat there by the side of the seaside, and as they came, he was cutting himself. Men had tried to place him in fetters and chains, and he would break them with that demonic spirit power that he had upon him. But thank God, one day Jesus came by and made a difference in his life. He was no longer bound by sin and death, but now he was bound to the Spirit of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became a full-fledged child of God, fully clothed, understood what was going on, and he had good sense. Amen. That crowd around him wondered what happened. Crowd around us sometimes. Boy, what happened to you? They'd much rather see you drunk over in the gutter somewhere. They can understand that. But you come all cleaned up and talking in your right mind. And I sang in Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. There is a fount that's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. When you start talking and speaking and understanding the things of God, they'll think you've lost your mind. They'll think you've just gone off the deep end. I'm here to tell you tonight that we ought to understand that we have the same liberty, and that liberty is not the bondage of fear, but it's a breaking of that bondage that will have life eternal and the joy and the peace of being a child and a servant of the Holy One of Israel, God of heaven, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We stand in that same liberty. We're not slaves, but we're sons. We have that relationship. We have that leadership, that liberty in the Lord. It says, whereby we cry. Now, there's a lot of things that word cry means. Sometimes around here we hear children crying. That's a cry. But the Bible says that we are to cry aloud and spare not. That means to yell with a loud voice. And I think we ought to yell from the loud voice from the housetops of our roofs, of our houses, that we are the children of God. Amen. I believe we ought to be a witness for the Lord and tell people about Jesus Christ. Just like yesterday, as I talked to that one man and went to see somebody else and trying to think of somebody else, it ought to rejoice us that we can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to make some visits tomorrow night, and God help us to cry aloud that we have a Father in heaven. We cry, Abba, Father. Cry it from the housetop that we're born again, that we're children of God. Not only do we seek the same leadership in verse 14, not only do we stand in the same liberty in verse number 15, but in verse number 16, thank God, we speak the same language. Look here, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know what that means? It means what God says about you, you can say about you. It means that our spirit's bearing witness with God, and His Spirit is bearing witness with us that we are the children of God. That not that we might be, not that we want to be, not that we hope we are, but that we are the children of God by faith in the Son of God, who is better qualified to witness on our behalf than the Holy Spirit, because He was active the day you got saved. When you got born again, whatever day it might have been, if it was a Sunday, Monday, whatever day, whether it was morning or night, noon, midnight hour, the Holy Spirit of God was there active in your salvation. And so therefore He can bear witness with us. He was there. He was there. He can give testimony. He can testify. He can give recognition to what has happened. One day He moved in. It's like a courtroom case. You know, the Bible tells us that the devil, he's our accuser. Brother Earl, has the devil ever come along to you and say, you're not saved? Sure. Has the devil ever come along? I know, yeah, he has heard. For those on the tape, that's my wife. But has the devil ever come along to you and said, you're not saved? You don't even remember what you said that day. Guilty. The Holy Spirit of God. Remember. He's the accuser. He comes before the courtroom and says, that guy, he's nothing. We stand to give our testimony. And I don't know about, I do too. I know about our testimony. It's full of flaws. Somebody said, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? I doubt it. Our testimony, our witness many times is full of holes and flaws and failures and fault finding and backbiting and struggling and strife, and all those things are there. And we're guilty of it. And the devil says, see there, I got you, man. You're not nothing. There's that spirit of fear. The devil says, yeah. You remember that thing, that you remember that thought you had the other day? Well, you know a child of God ought not to think that. So you're probably not saved. You remember those things that you said back two or three days ago? Well, there's no believers going to say that. He's accusing you. He's testifying against you. And you say, yes, but. He said, it doesn't matter. You've already failed. You've already faltered. Oh, thank God the Holy Spirit comes on the scene. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. One of the things that bothered me, I was saved when I was 8 years old, and one of the things I had to deal with in my life, that I heard these glowing testimonies of all these folks that used to be. I don't know who Brother Rutherford was talking about a while ago in his testimony, and he just makes people laugh, but I bet I could name a name and it'd be him. Because I think if it's not him, there's nothing just like him. Talked about what he used to be, and so help me, all he was a stand-up comedian. I wouldn't give you a dime for 10,000 of them. I don't care how good he can sing. I don't care how good he can do things. I don't want his preaching. We don't glorify what's in the past. And one of the things that I had trouble with was that I was just a young boy, and God didn't save me from being a drunkard. God didn't save me from being out in the hell holes and the dives of this world. I didn't have to be saved from sucking on the cancer sticks. Thanks be to God, I was a child and I believed God with faith believing. and trusting Him. And the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God because He was there when He moved in. And when you got saved, He can testify, that guy right there, he's saved. He can come along and say, Jay, doesn't matter what the devil said, I know when you got saved I was there. I was the one that said and come and tapped on your shoulder and said, buddy, that's who that preacher's talking about, that wicked man. Holy Spirit comes along and says, Tom, you're the one that preacher was talking about that night. You got saved. I was there convicting your heart. And I was there when you came to the altar and you trusted God. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It doesn't bear witness to my spirit. It bears witness with my spirit. A whole lot of difference in that. Whew. Mercy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We speak the same language. The Holy Spirit comes up and there's no question to His testimony. Deuteronomy 19, Matthew 18, 2 Corinthians 13, has a verse of scripture that I looked up and thought of this morning. And the Bible says, at the mouth of two witnesses shall a matter be established. The Spirit of God beareth witness to the Spirit. In the mouth of two witnesses, a matter is established. Thank God I say it and He says it. And that's enough.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. Doesn't matter if I live up to the standards that somebody thinks I ought to live up to. It doesn't matter where I go, what I do. The Holy Spirit of God says you're saved, born again. In the mouth of two witnesses. There's too many people that just have one witness. They say they're saved. But they don't have any Holy Spirit bearing witness with them. But in the mouth of two witnesses, a matter is established. I found that this morning, and I had myself a time, thank God, for the Holy Spirit bearing witness with us. Then we are sure. Verse number 17, we are sure of the same legacy, or that which is left. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We have the same legacy or heritage. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says, but it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared to them that love Him. John chapter 13 verse number 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father hath given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God. In John chapter 16, verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. That's what Jesus said. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the Father by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. He is heir, He is ruler of all things. By whom also He made the world. The scripture says, I read there where it says, I have not seen, ears heard. But verse number 10 of that same chapter, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit.
Amen.
We haven't seen it. We haven't fathomed it. We don't understand it. But the Spirit of God has revealed it and said, stamped, settled, delivered, and you're a joint heir. It's yours. And everything that God gave His Son, and the scripture here says that all things the Father has given to Jesus. All those things, He said, I'm heir to them. And the scripture says here that we are joint heirs. That means we have that relationship again. That means we have that same liberty. That means we have that same fellowship again. And everything that Jesus owns, guess what? Why should I worry or fret? Why should I wonder how things are going to be taken care of? Because everything that Jesus has, I have. I'm a joint heir with Christ. We are sure of the same legacy. And then lastly, the last part of verse number 17, we share the same load. I'm glad I don't bear my burdens alone. We share the same load. I'm glad he pulls along beside of me. I'm glad he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'm glad he said, let me take your burden. My burden's light. You take it, I'll take yours. We share in the same load. Jesus didn't promise a bed of roses. The only thing that he promised us in this world was tribulation. He said, those that live godly will suffer tribulation, suffer persecution. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, and that ye that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He says, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but don't worry about it. I've already defeated the world. The devil's going to come at you, but don't worry about it. I've already bruised his head unto death. I've already taken care of old Satan. I've taken care of him. 2 Timothy says we shall suffer persecution. If we are determined, and if we will determine to live for Christ, we are destined for suffering. If we live for God, we are destined that we'll suffer for Him. Verse 17 says, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Thank God tonight, all the burdens that I bear, He's there to carry the load. All the problems that come my way, He's there to take care of them. No wonder we ought not to have the spirit of fear. No wonder we ought to live for Him and serve Him. No wonder, no spirit of fear, because we are partners. We are in partnership with an eternal person, and that's the Holy Spirit. And all these things are ours because we are the children of God. Let's stand tonight.